Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Struggling Municipal Libraries podcast, where we talk to you about the books we'd like to recommend.
And Jamie is here with us on the show today, as well as Jake. He is our newest member of the librarian team. He is our adult programming librarian. Mm-hmm. And they are both here to talk about Hamnet, which is about Shakespeare's son. And I know Jamie wanted to talk about how she decided to read this book.
So, big lofty goals, 2021. Instead of, like, having a lot of people set, like, goals for the year, like, I'm going to read blank number of books, I have decided for 2021, I'm going to do it a little differently, and I'm going to read 4 books a month, and I'm going to choose them before the month starts. Like, I don't...
Oh, those... smart.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know if it's smart or not, but time will tell. But I selected 4 books for January, and one of them was Hamnet. The reason I chose it was because the author is Maggie O'Farrell, I believe that's right. And she wrote a memoir that I read a few years ago called I Am, I Am, I Am. And it's about, that was a crazy memoir, very unique. Like her take on to telling about her life was through 17 near-death experiences that she had.
Oh, wow.
So it was a fascinating memoir, and she is an amazing writer. So I thought, even though I'm not like totally into historical fiction, not an enormous Shakespeare fan, not even really a fan of the play Hamlet, Maggie O'Farrell is so good that I had it on my list. And when Jake came, he happened to tell me that the best book he read, I think you said that. Did you say best?
I would say, yeah. So I would, the book that I most liked in 2020, I don't know about best, that we're getting into semantics here, but I did. Yeah, I really liked it. I think also, so my story coming to this book, I'm a snob, so I just read critic reviews and I read.
It's going to be fun to work with. I can tell you, right? It's very difficult.
No.
This is week 2, people.
No. I read critic reviews. They said it was good. And also, just, I'm a lot of fun. I've been...
Self-proclaimed.
Yes, I'm a lot of fun. One of my quarantine activities was listening to great courses lectures, and one of them was entirely on the plague.
So by fun, I think he means nerdy.
Yes, I'm a lot of... Yeah. So I had sort of, like, taken an interest in, like, I don't know, plague novels. I read Year of Wonders, too.
Yeah.
And so when I saw it had the same subtitle, a novel of the plague or something like that, I was like, all right, let's try it. We're in the right time, I suppose.
You know what's really funny? As I've talked to different readers about what they read in 2020, most people were trying to avoid things that were about plagues or illnesses or things like that. So it's kind of like you just decided to challenge it head on.
I went full circle. I think I did have a period where I wasn't
knowledge
watching
is power.
Things. And then right around November, I watched Contagion. I read The End of October by Lawrence Wright, which was, I don't think, a very good novel, but regardless, it was about another pandemic. So yeah, I think this just like hit me at the right moment.
I think Jake has had a very immersive 2020. I would like pandemic to hit me from all sides.
Yes.
But while we're on that just weird subject, I'll throw a plug in for Chris Bajulian, who's one of my favorite authors. He did at the very beginning, and I cannot remember the title, a book that also had to do with like rat spread plague in the modern day engineered stuff. I didn't love it. It's not his best work, but it sure was interesting considering the times we're in. So if you too would like to read more about pandemics and plagues, we can hook you up.
So how about you guys give us a synopsis of the book?
I feel like everyone already knows the spoiler if they know anything about Shakespeare.
There's one big plot point, which is Hamnet dies.
Yes.
Surprise.
Yeah, so Shakespeare had 3 children, Susanna, Judith, and Hamnet. And Judith and Hamnet were twins. They were younger. And we don't actually, to give some historical context, we don't actually know how Hamnet died. There's the recorded births, but not causes of deaths. So, and she even says this at an endnote in the book, that this is her own imaginative sort of leap, that it was in fact plague. But the story follows, for the most part, Shakespeare's wife, Anne Hathaway, which
is her actual,
that's another, so you were mentioning the name changes, and I think honestly Anne Hathaway has ruined Anne Hathaway.
My brain immediately thought Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, the Princess of Genovia, not Shakespeare's wife. But so she goes by Agnes in the book, and she serves as the main character. And plot, basically, you're just following their courtship, marriage, and then Hamnet's death and its effects on their marriage is pretty much,
I even thought this morning as I was driving in and doing my thinking for the podcast, it is absolutely not a plot-driven book.
Like, no.
We could give you the plot, Jake did give you the plot
yes.
in like 2 seconds. There's no spoilers. There are no twists. It is what it is. So it's really character driven and very atmospheric. So, yeah. And don't think Jake is pronouncing it wrong. The name Hamnet, which is the title of the book, I guess was interchangeable historically with Hamlet.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
It's a little.
So did he write Hamlet after Hamnet died?
Okay. Yes.
Yes. I looked it, and I actually looked this up beforehand. I'm going to get these dates wrong.
Of course he did.
I think, I think Hamnet died in 1594. We don't have actual, like, we can only go by dates of performances for Shakespeare plays, but it was certainly after that, if not at the beginning of the 17th century. So it was after Hamnet died that he wrote Hamlet, yeah.
So you're talking about how character-driven this novel is. Can you tell us a little bit about the characters you liked and disliked, and maybe a little bit about why, or is that too much of a spoiler in itself?
No.
Again, I don't think there are spoilers, but just give us a little look into the main characters.
Yeah, the main character, like Jake said, is Anne Hathaway, who in the book is named Agnes. Loved her, like, just a super. And again, we should say that Maggie O'Farrell took enormous liberties constructing this book because there isn't a historical record. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, she based it on diaries or articles or anything. I mean, super imaginative on her part, but just the story of their courtship was really interesting. She was, I guess, what we would call a bohemian hippie today and, you know, was into potions and healing and herbs, and she had a falcon?
She did, yes.
Like a pet falcon, and they met, and this is, their age difference is probably, according to the record, but she was like 26 and he was 18.
She was a cougar.
Yeah. She's the first cougar in history.
Yes.
We could probably pick some out of the Bible if we tried.
But yeah.
So she's just, you know, you like her throughout. I did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think she's a great character. She's about as, like, she's about as feminist as someone can be in the early modern period.
Fair.
So she's literate, which is something that's not super common. Mm. And yeah, she has a very sort of fey way of going about things. She has this habit throughout the novel of, like, pressing the meat between people's thumb and their fingers, and is sort of seems to have some sort of psychic ability when she does that.
Okay.
It seems, this sounds very silly when I'm saying it. I think she pulls it off for the most part, though.
Yeah.
It's totally believable.
Yeah. But, and, well, I've forgotten what I was going to say about her in that regard. I think also sort of like, so if you do want to sort of map it on to Hamlet, I think you could sort of see her as Ophelia, but with her head, you know, just on her shoulders.
Right.
You know.
Not falling apart.
Poor Ophelia. Yes. Poor Ophelia. But, like, you know, a little bit more put together. You know?
Do you see very much of what Shakespeare is like as a partner?
He's an absentee husband and father.
That was kind of what I would have predicted.
Yeah, he did not live. He throughout their marriage after the babies lived in London, and she lived in the country in Stratford. So they didn't spend a lot of time together, which I was thinking about this on the way in too. Like, would that marriage really fly? Like, I know it's the 1500s, but still.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's kind of odd. But also a good father. Like, he was portrayed, and again, this is totally imaginative, but he was portrayed as a really caring father, but definitely hands-off, because he's not there.
Yeah, I mean, by necessity. It's sort of like, he's a playwright and an actor.
Can't live in the country.
Yeah, and he can't live in Stratford. So in order to actually do his trade, which, and it's, this part of the novel is true, he's commercially successful. Like, you know, the Queen sees his plays, they're on at the Globe. So he's able to take care of them with this money, but he can't be in London and then, or he can't be in Stratford. And then one of the twins, she has imagined, Judith, is sort of sickly. And so they just don't think, I mean, think of early modern plumbing. You're not gonna, like, you're not gonna take a sickly child to London. So they sort of by necessity live apart, but that does cause tensions. It's very much so the story of a marriage. And I thought what was kind of interesting too is Shakespeare's never named
Colin William.
Nope.
The word Shakespeare, I don't believe, will appear in this novel ever.
Huh.
It's just like her husband, he, the whole time. And I think I sort of understand that because, you know, to a certain reader, that'll be like reading the name Jesus Christ or the Buddha or something like that.
Yeah, they'll have a perception of him that overtakes anything she writes.
Yeah, it's just too much of a meme to actually name him like that.
Yeah.
But I do think he cares a lot. I mean, he cheats on her while in London, like,
yes,
obviously.
I was going to say, honestly, who didn't
really
in that time period?
Record, it's really hard to cheat on your wife if she's part psychic. Like.
Yeah, she knows. She figures it out. But it's also sort of, like, that might be getting into spoilers, but he doesn't do a great job of staying to comfort once Hamnet has passed either. But you sort of see that it's less so that he's just a terrible person and more so that, like, you know, this is a couple that's just lost a child.
Yeah.
So, like, whenever you look at that person, you see the child that you lost, like, or at least half of them reflected sort of in them. So he's suffering as well. You sort of get the idea anyway.
Did he seem more like an observer in the novel than a participant in the family, or?
Listen to a sigh. I don't think he's an observer because, again, he's not really there. He definitely serves a purpose, right? Because the culmination of the novel is that the play gets written, right? And that the play is based on that. Jake's way smarter than I am, particularly about literature, but the elements in the play, like Hamlet's ghost is in the play, and that's like a thing, right? So he's definitely there. The novel needs it to move along. He's a central figure, but also absent, right?
Okay.
So I think what I like about this book is her technique is flawless. Like, she really did an amazing job to create a unique novel based on a really unusual concept, and she pulls it off.
You did mention that there are no chapters. Is that what you said?
I mentioned I had a hard time, not a hard time reading it, but...
or not a normal one, two, three, four.
I'm, like, task-driven, so I like to do chapter one, I'll read to the end of chapter one, and then chapter two.
Because I think that's an interesting thing that people would probably be taken a little surprised by if it wasn't a normal division of
it's not
of
unusual
a novel for people
in you know like high literary fiction. You just read and then there's like some space on the page and then you read some
it's
more.
It's like high fantasy, high literary.
Yes, high lit. And it goes back and it does use the technique of going back and forth in time from perspective.
Okay, yeah.
Which I listened and read this one. I did both, so it was fine.
Okay.
And see, I read it on an e-reader, and there weren't chapter divisions. I didn't notice it at all. I just, like, kept
going.
Yeah, I just kept going. So that's, I mean, I wouldn't say, like, this is, like, a compulsively readable book. It's character-driven, you know. You're not going to be, like, you're not going to be at the edge of your seat wondering what's going to happen. But I got through it very easily.
How does the plague factor into this, apart from, you know, it being the cause of death for Hamnet?
Really cool. There's some really cool stuff in there.
Yeah, there's again, I don't want to give things away and feel free to cut
out. No, we can talk about it. We can talk about this part.
There's a cool, like, cutout, or not even a cutout, just like a cut scene where we follow, like, an Italian bead maker or something that.
It's like how they, it's almost like my favorite sentence of the book, which I don't have the book in front of me, but how the plague never would have affected Shakespeare's family had it not been for these two things happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then he traces it back.
So contact tracing.
Yes.
Exactly, though.
Oh my gosh. It's totally that. Like, this one started with a monkey in a market and a flea. And these fleas that got on these cats that got on a boat. And it was, I mean, it was really interesting to see the plague move from one person to the other and then end up where it did for the story. I loved that part.
Yeah. And then also just so in her imagination, both Judith and Hamnet get the plague and you sort of see, I mean, the plague was at least just a coin flip, you know, whether you were going to live or die. So she herself is like a healer. And I think like one particularly like devastating detail that was in there is like the plague doctor comes around, but like the plague doctor is a quack. So he's like, here, take this frozen frog. And she's like, I'm not going to do that. And then by the end, once Hamnet has passed, you see that that she has actually tried to use the frozen frog on Hamnet, even though she knows it's not going to work at all. And that was just like, oh. My heart.
and the plague, pretty gross. COVID is bad, don't get me wrong, but the plague, pretty gross. Yeah, that was a really interesting part of the book. And then I'm dying for you to ask me if I've ever been in a Shakespeare play.
Oh, well, have you?
Well, of course I have. Only one. Now, what do you ask me now?
Which play?
Thank you for asking.
Is it a tragedy or a comedy?
Was it Hamlet?
Oh my gosh, no. It was Twelfth Night.
That's
to this day my favorite Shakespeare play. And I didn't know that Shakespeare had twins in real life.
Yeah.
And so if you're familiar or not with Twelfth Night, the main thing is there's twins and you can't tell them apart for a good part of the novel. And so I was one of the twins in the Twelfth Night. And I thought it was fascinating to learn that he had real twins that looked a lot alike, Judith and Hamnet. Had the same face and when they were young, before he died. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Was it only the twins in the household who caught the plague?
Yes, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
According to the novel.
Yeah,
it was only the twins, which, like, the other sort of, like, really rough thing is that, you know, they had a decent knowledge of, I suppose, how infection works. So, like, Hamnet passes, and then they can't go through any of the normal grieving processes because you have to dispose of the corpse within 24 hours. Just for the sake of not spreading contagion.
Right. Yeah.
So, and I mean, that kind of even recalls what's going on right now. Just even the process of grieving is by necessity disrupted, which is rough. Yeah.
And there's another, like, really cool scene in the book, which we won't tell about that one because that one is kind of like the most magical scene that mm-hmm. is kind of a magical thing that happens between the twins. And
yeah.
then we won't. This is the only reason you must pick up this book to find out what I'm talking about. Yeah. Because this book isn't for everybody, right? It's not.
Yeah.
It isn't a page-turner. But it is probably one of those books that's going to win a lot of awards and mm-hmm. get really good reviews because she nailed it. And to have original ideas in any kind of writing these days is rare. Like, we're running out of mm-hmm. ideas. And I felt like this was pretty original.
Yeah.
How did Agnes and Shakespeare meet in the first place?
I don't know if this is true or not. We can say how they did it.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's my question.
We definitely have to Google Wikipedia to see if we know for real. He was the Latin tutor of her younger brothers.
Okay.
Then they started flirting, and there was a barn scene, and yeah.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And he was not well regarded, at least in the novel. Agnes is fairly well off. Or at least she's set to have a fairly decent dowry. And Shakespeare is tradeless. His father is a drunk, but he was a glover, right?
Yeah, and I did mm-hmm. check Wikipedia for that. His father, Shakespeare's father, was indeed a glove maker. And in the book, he is portrayed as a giant jerk.
Yes.
Yeah, he's the most unlikable character, I
yes.
believe.
Yes, mean old drunk.
Yeah. Also, Agnes's stepmother, also mm-hmm. a horrible character.
Do you think just being interested in Shakespeare and his plays would be enough of a reason to pick this up for someone, or do you think they need to have a specific taste in literature to enjoy this type of novel?
You don't have to know much about Shakespeare. Like, okay. I don't love Shakespeare. Like, I'm mm-hmm. vaguely familiar with... When Jake said Ophelia, I was like, was that in Hamlet? Like, yeah, so definitely, you do not have to be a Shakespeare expert mm-hmm. to pull this one off. But
yeah, no, I would say for me, this, if you've seen the movie like Rabbit Hole or just any sort of character driven thing, mm-hmm. If you're interested in the story of a marriage or the story of a family, just, I mean, yes, it's in the late 16th century, but I don't think that you really have to know almost anything about Shakespeare in order to have okay. an interest in these characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's also an unusual time for even a piece of historical fiction to go back to mm-hmm. the late 1500s. That's not common in literary historical fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So people, it's a nice change of pace.
People mm-hmm. tend to avoid it like the plague.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So one of my criticisms of historical fiction is sometimes it just feels very, very slow. Did you overall feel that? I know it's not a page-turner, but mm-hmm. did you feel like you got bogged down at any point?
I would say because I think what is done really effectively is that, so yes, she took historical liberties, but I think that also makes it so that you're not so bogged down in creating the world of late 16th century England.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like, sometimes I think in historical fiction, when they're too busy telling you, you know, the exact material that the Glover used to...
This is how it really was.
Yes. Sometimes I'm like, great, that's great. Just get on with the story. I don't really... I did not feel bogged down by that.
Okay.
In particular, yeah.
I didn't feel bogged down because I read it this weekend because I knew that I had to have it finished.
Yes, you had a due date.
So I was on a pretty good pace, but it is slow, mm-hmm. you know, because... Not a lot happened, so I found myself when I was reading it, I could read down the center of the page or do top paragraphs, right, to, mm-hmm. to wait till the action happened if I wasn't super interested in the detail. It was a good listen. Mm-hmm. I listened to several hours, probably 5 or 6 hours this weekend, and the narration's good. It's a little slow, but, I mean, you can clean your house and cook and do your chores with it in the background, and it's pleasant. Yeah, it's good.
All right, that's all the questions
I think
questions
that's all
I
we
have.
Got, yeah.
Thank you guys for joining us and bringing us another interesting book, even if it is plague related.
Yes.
And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.
Bye.